Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And her really amazing sidekick. That took a second to get out. Did you hear
that? Okay. Welcome to Med Crimes.
My bad.
That only took two episodes.
Okay. So side note, we have to move the chairs up from the hedge. I'm fine with keeping that in. I thought it was cute and organic.
Done.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Kate just got caught in the hedge.
I did get caught in the hedge.
Didn't take long.
Welcome to the safety hedge where it's not that safe.
Nope.
Because I got caught in it.
Wow.
So there's that. Anyway.
I've been at your house like a total of 10 minutes and I got to the pod lab. And there's coffee waiting for me.
AKA
my blanket was preheated. And I just now want to live in this basement.
Listen.
Nobody does this for me at home.
Mama Kate just, she takes care of it, okay? You come to my basement, you're going to have an experience.
It is an experience.
That's an experience.
Yes, it is. We've had really good response from episode one of season three.
100%.
Everyone was super happy that we were back.
Yes, and the YouTube has got the YouTube.
Hey,
our YouTube channel has
the
gotten
YouTube.
Great. The YouTube. I sound like an elder millennial. The YouTube is where it's at, people. It's fun.
Hey, it was interesting to see how the edit played out a little bit and just like how people's reactions were to like the face with the voices.
Yes. That was interesting to see.
Yeah. So for one YouTube video down.
Yeah, buddy.
Who knows how many more to go?
I know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
We got some more Patreons.
Yeah, buddy. We're vibing.
These Patreons, you guys.
You're our heroes.
Couldn't be more thankful for you. Jolene Lamoureux.
Jolene. Sorry, that was also necessary. We also have Deborah Goshko. What up, Deborah?
Hi, Deborah. Candace Pencall.
Ooh, hey, Candace. Hannah Jensen. Yeah, Hannah Jensen.
I love that name.
Me too.
I feel like I know that name. Do I know that name?
I don't know.
Hannah, do I know you?
Are you a TV character?
Maybe.
Sounds familiar.
We got a Madonna thing going on. We
love it.
We have a Nikki.
Nikki. Madonna / Beyonce.
Nikki.
Okay. And guess what? I know exactly what you guys are today.
She already wrote it down.
You guys. So I'm at the point where I'm running low on like my personal memory bank of
mythical
creatures.
3 years of a memory bank. So I'm actually impressed.
I'm having to actually research, okay, what is this group of Patreons? Because I'm getting into the more obscure mythical animals. So you guys are Indriks. What is an Indrik, you ask?
Not a freaking clue.
They are of Russian folklore. They are gentle, shy creatures with the body of a deer and a head like a unicorn. And they fucking live in the mountains, secluded away from people because people are trash. And they just vibe, which I kind of want that life for myself. So anyway, congrats. You guys are Indriks.
I am jealous.
Cheers.
I want to be an Indrik.
All right, guys, we have part two, and I was able to wrap it up in two parts. This one will be just a bit longer.
Look at you go. Good thing I got coffee, my preheated blanket.
I know. We are like ready to rumble of our lovely deep dive into the United States sanctioned STI experiments. And
been intriguing.
We just kind of grazed this first layer, right? Things are going to get a lot more brutal, and we're really going to sort of explore how absolutely barbaric this all got.
Could kind of see where it was headed in part one,
and then you amplify it by about a million, and you're going to be like, oh my god, I can't even wrap my head around what it must have been like in this situation as a victim. And we'll get into it. So without further ado, let's get into...
We will always be French.
As an overview, so If you didn't listen to part one, I highly recommend you go back and listen to part one just so you get sort of the context here. Otherwise, there's some stuff that you're going to miss a little bit.
You need to set the scene.
I shall do a little bit of an overview. But yes, setting the scene by going back to part one.
You always need to read the prologue.
Yes.
Before you know the epilogue.
This is... Look at you.
Listen, it's January 20th today.
Devin is a human
soliloquy. And I have read two books so far this year, which some of you like are probably like... And,
wish I had time to read.
But let me tell you, I have goals this year, and two books in 20 days is a lot for me.
That is huge. I'm actually like really impressed. I love reading. I need to set aside, I need to make myself more time to read because I spend probably more time than I realize, like sitting on the couch and having a minute. Because if you're a mom, you just need a minute.
I've just decided that the times that are sitting on the couch watching TV when it's the family's in there, I pick up the book and I read.
That's such a good idea. That's what
and
I
instead
to
of playing on my phone while I'm waiting for the minions to fall asleep and I'm laying on the floor for a very long time.
You're picking up the book and you're reading.
I'm reading.
You're my hero.
Got a little book light.
You do?
Oh, I do. It's adorable.
And I can't even with her.
Tangent.
She's so freaking cute. So as a brief overview, so this is the early to mid 1940s. The U.S. government is responding to some public pressure to find better treatment for STIs. In particular, of particular focus is syphilis, gonorrhea, and cancroid. These are like very much on the rise. Domestic efforts were deemed a failure as the red tape around needing consent and willing participants really just was a huge bummer for them.
Gosh, ethics.
I know. So the government decided to bring things abroad to Guatemala because Guatemala has a system in which sex workers could come in to visit prisoners.
Which I still find intriguing.
Which like,
but hey,
it's interesting that they find that like a basic human right. Like you're in prison. You can still have this because we would never want to take that away from you.
You know, and that's always, again, tangent. But like, do you like, so we have conjugal visits in some prisons.
We do.
But why?
But why? Is
like,
right?
You did something wrong. You're in prison.
Yeah.
You don't have the right to.
Some of you were like murderers and shit. Like, really?
I don't know. I don't know much about it, but I'm just like, why? You know,
that's like a literally a great question. I've always wanted to know the why.
Why?
Yeah, just why. So anyway, they felt like they could inoculate sex workers and then have the sex workers go and visit the gentlemen in these prisons. And this was all paid for by our government, by the way. We were paying sex workers to engage in sexual acts with prisoners in an effort to transmit STIs.
So kind of us.
Without telling anybody what was going on, without providing consent, without doing any of that. So nobody had any idea
what
was
going
on. This kind of fell through because the prisoners got rightfully suspect about why are you checking my blood, giving me pills, and looking at my junk a lot? Why are you doing
this?
Can
I just have sex with them
and then they
started
throwing hands and resisting the testing. And they were like, well, shit. So anyway, we are now at the point where our government is like, okay, we need to figure out what other, you know, marginalized population we can take advantage of here in order to get the data that we need, because we are under a lot of pressure from the U.S. government. We're getting all this funding and we need to churn out some results here pretty quick. So the focus of this particular study was, again, to try and find a dose of penicillin that will work as a preventative dose against STIs and finding a post-exposure dose, which one could take in the event of a high-risk exposure to prevent.
They want
to
play an A and B.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Trigger warning. We're going to talk about sex work, medical experimentation, STDs/STIs. Some of this also involves children in the sex work injury.
Part.
Yes. And in my opinion, what is clearly like sexual assault and rape. We're going to get into it. Where I left off, these sex workers are entering the prisons. They're being routinely tested for their STDs to make sure they're positive, like twice a week. If they were negative, they would be inoculated again on purpose. Of course, being paid for their participation. Now the higher ups are like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to get more of this data? One of the big struggles in the prison in particular was that Most of the time, they were allowing the prisoners to be infected with the STIs the old-fashioned way, through sexual contact.
Right.
But this was a very unreliable method of transmission. When they inoculated someone, it was a lot more effective. They almost always were positive.
Mm-hmm.
When they did those weird spinal injections, they were almost always positive.
Mm-hmm.
But the sexual encounters did not seem to be enough.
And so that's interesting. It's not enough, but that's also the whole reason as to what started it, is because they were having those sexual encounters anyway.
The problem is it's not you have a sexual encounter with somebody who has an STI and then you get it.
Yeah, I know.
It's just not reliable enough.
Mm.
There's a lot of variables there.
Right.
That they didn't account for when they sort of made this plan.
Right.
And they wanted a more reliable method to infect people.
Right.
So that they could
get their answers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the guy who was running this whole thing, the ones taking place in Guatemala, and then later on, the ones that take place in Tuskegee, Alabama, which we are going to get into, is Dr. John Cutler. And he worked closely with Drs. John Mahoney, who helped bring everything over from Terre Haute and sort of paved the way for these experiments. Dr. Cutler had received some grant funding to continue these experiments, right? But he was, again, frustrated at the lack of data, and he's trying to find a new plan. So he gets this $1,400 from the U.S. government, which today would be equal to about $22,000. To pay, his initial plan was like, okay, I'm going to, put it back into the prison, pay some researchers, pay our volunteers, pay the sex workers so we can keep all this going. But again, he's like, but what else? There's something else that I need to do. So now there's a psychiatric hospital in Guatemala City, by the name of Asilo de Alienados. And I hope I pronounced that right. I'm very sorry if I didn't. This was a small facility which was directed by a Dr. Carlos Salvado. And this was a hospital that had rather rudimentary equipment, accommodations, and very little medical equipment and supplies in general.
And this is, again, still in the 1940s.
We know what places like this were like. I was going
to
say,
think back to the previous episode that we did in that time period, and it's not stellar.
And I don't know about Guatemala specifically, but I cannot imagine it's much, much better than the U.S. may have even been worse.
Right.
We know
as much resources as what we did. And we didn't have much at that time.
Exactly. So they're a very, very understaffed facility. Very few staff members for just like a boatload of patients, right? So Dr. Salvado, heard of these experiments because he has some ties with the Guatemalan government, being that he's running a government entity, essentially running the psychiatric hospital. So Dr. Salvado reached out to Dr. Cutler and made him an offer. And he said, you give me that money so that we can buy our patients some new equipment, and you can bring these experiments to my facility, and you can have all of those patients and do what you want with them.
Wow. Okay. There goes your free will.
So in one of the most insidious deals I have ever even heard of, Cutler continued some minor studies and following cases at the prison, but then moved his primary source of data to the psychiatric facility, where things get very barbaric.
Oh boy.
So, because relying heavily on spreading the disease naturally was giving these inconsistent results, Cutler got right to work and transitioned to strictly and directly inoculating patients. So no more sex workers, no more sexual transmission. We're just going to inject people with shit.
Yep.
So they use multiple different strains. Researchers would often inject patients with like a regular IM injection, intramuscular, as if you're getting a flu shot, and also would inject them directly into the spine.
Still doing the spine, huh?
And what they found was that with syphilis in particular, injecting directly into the spine, and what they would do is they would put the needle at the base of the skull, at the occiput, and enter the spinal canal right there with a needle.
How many people did they harm?
Probably.
Just by that right there.
I can't even, and I wish we knew an exact number.
Just the technique.
And so they found that when they did that, though, when they infected people with this method, it was almost a guarantee that they would result in an infection. So it made things more efficient for them. They weren't wasting specimens. So they actually started to favor this method of inoculation over like IM injections and intrarectal.
Because they were getting their infections. Like, yeah. Boom.
The other ways they were doing it were they were injecting these things into people's urethras, into their vaginal openings, into their rectums, into their whatever.
Only invasive.
I mean, more than invasive, it's horribly barbaric. Now, these people obviously could not really defend themselves, could not speak. Many of them can't really even speak for themselves. Additionally, they were not told what was happening to them and given absolutely no details on these experiments. They had no idea what was going on.
Wow.
They were not given the opportunity to consent for any of this, and they were not given a choice. Many of these subjects were physically forced into participating.
I'm sure.
Restrained.
Oh, God.
Sedated to participate in these things.
The mental illness that these people have already, that this type of population, and then, you know, they're getting restraints and all that stuff just from the potential to harm themselves.
Yes.
And now, in addition to what somebody else is going to do to them.
The trauma is just, like, unimaginable. Wow. This whole thing.
It's inhumane.
I can't even. The more I like learned about what our government is capable of inflicting on human beings. I mean, what humans are capable of inflicting on other humans is like wild to me. And it floors me the more I learn about all these terrible things that people do. And it just shocks me that any one person could do something like this to another human being.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane to me. So the substances they would use to infect people and inject them were literally contaminated body fluids from previously infected patients. So they're using contaminated. This is graphic, trigger warning. Contaminated, like, pus, discharge, like vaginal discharge, penile discharge,
wow.
Infected semen. From previously infected patients.
Wow.
That's what they're putting into other people against their will.
Wow.
After the exposure or inoculation, about 50% of the patients were actually treated for their infections.
What? They didn't even treat the others?
Some of them, they wanted to just kind of see how things played out.
Oh, so they
see what the diseases did.
Like,
exactly.
Oh,
many.
Wow.
A lot of them were given these post-exposure prophylactic doses, which were experimental. And a lot of time it didn't work because that's not how that works. And also they tracked infected people carefully because with systemic gonorrheal infections or secondary syphilis, they wanted to see, you know, what doses of penicillin could potentially treat people at different stages. So they needed these people to be at different stages and different severities of disease in order to get results on those particular things. So I am going to read a documented account of a patient in this psychiatric facility.
Oh, no.
This was includes things that Dr. John Cutler himself did. This really just highlights the absolute brutality, inhumanity, and just complete disregard for human life. massive trigger warning here. This is graphic. There is physical, and let's just call this what it is. It's sexual abuse of
it's
these
sexual
people.
Assault.
Sexual assault, sexual abuse.
Yes.
It's rape. So I'm going to start now. Berta is a female patient in the psychiatric hospital. Berta was injected in her left arm with syphilis. Several weeks later, Dr. Cutler notes that she had developed red bumps at her injection site, as well as lesions on her arms and legs. Her skin was beginning to waste away from her body. Berta was not treated for syphilis until 3 months after the injection. Soon after she was treated, Dr. Cutler documented that Berta appeared as though she was about to die.
Okay.
On that same day that he documented that, he placed gonorrheal pus from another male patient into both of Berta's eyes and injected more into her urethra and her rectum. At the same time, he also reinfected her with syphilis.
Why?
They had just treated her for syphilis and they reinfected her. Several days later, Berta's eyes were full and essentially glued shut with gonorrheal discharge. She was having bleeding from her urethra. 3 days later, 3 days later, Berta died.
Oh my goodness.
So.
Oh.
We all need a minute because that was very heavy and very graphic. First of all, when they say they're injecting someone with syphilis, it's contaminated body fluid. You're not just giving someone like clean and concentrated syphilis.
It's not like mixing saline.
No. This is other bacteria. Like you're shooting people up with like skin flora and gram negatives and anaerobes and all these Who the fuck knows what fucking gunk is ending up in these people? She was probably septic with God knows what.
Goodness. For sure.
And then my favorite part of that whole thing was when he took one look at her, said, oh, she looks like she's going to die. Let's pour some pus into her eyes and just shoot some up her urethra and just really make sure that she suffers until her literal last fucking moment.
Oh my God, that is so awful.
I mean,
I
can't even wrap my head around any of this. Mm-mm. Like, it's just, I mean, to look at this person, like, let's talk about treating a human being like an absolute throwaway piece of trash.
Absolutely. What else can I do to you while you're on your deathbed?
Exactly.
You're gonna go. What else can I do?
Yeah, I might as well just, like, unleash hell upon you and just let it be the worst. I just can't.
Wow.
Can't do it. So, Cutler and his team got decent data from the population at the psychiatric hospital. But the problem is that this supply of participants are finite, right? I mean, it's like a fairly small group still. It's not like an infinite, you know, supply of people that, you know, once most of them had been infected, that group had sort of run its course. And they could
say they'll run out of patients at the mental institution that
exactly.
Then what?
So why not then look into Guatemalan soldiers?
Started with American soldiers, so
right?
Why not?
Why the hell not? So now, at this point, it's 1947. This has been going on for a year and a half, 2 years at this point. Somehow, the Guatemalan government knew this was going on and were okay with it. But from what I could find, the U.S. was paying the Guatemalan government quite a bit of money for their participation in this. So, again, it's also a fact that there was a lot of things that I think Guatemala didn't really know about the details of what was going on.
I'm sure.
But
it's not like we're, you know, forthcoming with a lot of information.
Exactly. But the fact is, like, they knew what was going on and they gave the okay for this. And so a pool of 600 Guatemalan soldiers who were not given the opportunity to provide consent and were not told why or what was being studied, they were just provided with orders that they must comply with X, Y, and Z, were injected with syphilis and gonorrhea. And most of these soldiers were injected with infectious material. Trigger warning, graphic and gross things coming up. When I say infected material, again, I mean infectious discharge gathered from the genitalia of other infected participants was gathered into a syringe and injected into their muscles and spinal fluid. This is how most of these soldiers in this pool were infected. I don't have exact numbers. Others were exposed on purpose to infected sex workers. Again,
so
testing.
They're still
bringing that back to test some of the transmissibility and prophylactic dosing. So again, these sex workers are being paid by the government. Another small group of soldiers, of 80 soldiers, was taken and they were given studies on cankroid in particular. So these 80 soldiers were purposefully exposed to cankeroid, in which researchers would scratch their arms or legs or their abdomens and then pour contaminated fluids and infectious material on top of their scratches. Wow. And for this group, consent was provided by the soldiers' commanders, but not by the soldiers. They had no idea what was going on. So the higher ups in the actual military of Guatemala were like, that should be fine.
They're soldiers. They're used to taking orders.
This is fine.
Yep.
This all seems fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
So I'm laughing because it's absurd, not because it's funny.
Of course. I hope most of you know that about us by
now. Yes, I should hope so, but I still feel the need to say it.
For the newbies, we usually laugh at the ridiculousness.
Yes.
And the absurdities.
Yes, exactly.
And the, I can't believe this fucking happened.
Exactly.
It's never for humor.
No. Cutler and Salvato then worked together after, you know, this is running its course too.
Yeah.
Around this time, Cutler and Salvato start working together to construct their own 300-bed facility in Guatemala City, which was used exclusively for the STI experiments.
Well,
this facility was touted as a hospital, and the general public were just welcome to come in and we'll offer very inexpensive medical care. And it's a safe place. And at the same
time.
And Guatemala City at the time had a large impoverished population.
I'm sure.
So people started bringing their families in for this, like, you know, affordable medical care.
Is this how the children get involved? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
People suffering from injuries, from chronic ailments, and young children. There was documentation of children as young as one. Being, this is a baby.
Ugh.
A literal baby.
I mean, a lot of this has crossed the line. But
the line is so fucking far away.
5 minutes into episode one.
Yes.
The line was drawn.
Yes.
But like, oh man.
This is just the most upsetting thing. This was not something.
Because now you don't care who it is.
No.
It's not a controlled group anymore with, you know, American soldiers, prisoners,
no.
mental institution patients, Guatemalan soldiers.
This is some Holocaust
it's
shit.
It's now general pop.
This is it's some just fucking Josef Mengele, and I bring him up later too, but this is some shit that is so, so insane. I don't even have words to describe it. I don't have words because there is no words. Like I was saying, children as young as one were documented to have been exposed to syphilis and gonorrhea for the sake of this experiment. Cutler and Salvato essentially ran this operation sort of on the down low.
Okay.
And did not share that piece with the Guatemalan government. So even they knew that this was like real bad. We can't just like go sharing this with.
Because the Guatemalan government was fine with them doing it to their soldiers.
Sure.
But so I guess they have some standards for their general population.
I mean, I guess. Like some. A few. Some.
A shred.
Not very many.
Like a flea size.
Like a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a little bit. So, expand a little bit and talk about leprosy. Now,
here we go.
Leprosy was more of a widespread problem in the 17 and 1800s. And individuals who were felt to be infected with leprosy would be sent to live in these secluded communities with other infected people. And these communities were called leper colonies. We've all probably heard that term at one time or another.
Or those that were infected were called the lepers, right?
Lepers, yeah. Right. So leprosy is a bacterial infection which affects the skin. And essentially it can result in skin breakdown and necrosis of the distal parts of the body. Meaning?
My turn.
Devin's turn.
Distal. So distal is like farther end. Think of proximal is in close proximity. So the areas of your body that are closer to you are the proximal. So distal's farther down, your arms, your legs, toes, fingers.
Yeah.
And the necrosis is basically it's all just dying.
Exactly.
That skin is dying.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Devin, for clarifying.
Layman.
So in Europe in the 1700s, leprosy was a huge problem and they had a lot of leper colonies back then. But by the early 1800s, it had essentially been almost completely eradicated from Europe.
So close.
So close. So it did continue to be an issue, though, through the 1800s and into the 1900s in the Middle East, Asia, in South America. And actually, in Guatemala specifically, leprosy is considered and was considered an endemic, essentially until like the 1980s, I think. So they had continued issues with it like until fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
So to Cutler, this is another golden opportunity.
Why not?
Here's another marginalized and vulnerable population that I can use.
I could just screw around with.
To my advantage, because nobody seems to care about these people, and these people live in seclusion anyway.
They don't
want
to be around them.
Nobody's even going to know.
Nope.
Nobody's going to know.
Nope. They're mine.
Yeah. So he did the exact same thing there. So he infiltrated this area with researchers, started providing people with quote-unquote medical care in which they were being inoculated and infected with syphilis, gonorrhea, and cancroid, and then followed and studied.
He's a champ.
He's the literal worst human being on this planet. So it's now been, so at this point, it's 1948. It's been a couple of years. These experiments are in full swing. We're getting decent data, right? All in all, it's thought that a total of around 5,000 Guatemalan citizens, sex workers, soldiers, psychiatric patients, people with leprosy living in leper colonies, and prison inmates were all exposed or infected with syphilis, or gonorrhea, or cancroid.
Wow.
The exact number is not known.
Right.
So, at this time back in the U.S., things are changing a little bit. So doctors across the nation have been routinely prescribing penicillin to treat these infections with decent success, right? So over a period of like 1946 to 1948, infection rates are starting to dip. Hospitalizations are starting to dip down. The fulminant infections and people getting really, really sick from this are decreasing sharply at this point. So
it's working.
Exactly. Which is great, but public interest in this is starting to wane a little bit, naturally. And then the government isn't as motivated to, you know, research like crazy at this point.
There goes your funding, too. You lost interest and all that stuff. There goes your moolah.
Exactly. So coupling this with the fact that in 1947 to 1948, the Nuremberg trials are in full swing. So if you're not familiar with the Nuremberg trials, these essentially were a result of the Holocaust and World War II. And representatives of the Nazi Party were essentially put on trial to hold them accountable for the atrocities that were committed against human beings and victims of the Holocaust. So these trials included trials against many of the physicians and quote unquote healthcare workers that were working in these camps, experimenting on inmates like Josef Mengele, if you remember back to that episode.
Old Josef.
So we did touch on the Nuremberg trials in that episode as well, but so that's something that's sort of hanging over everyone's head,
right?
So
it's kind of going on in the background,
and these trials are of course getting a lot of public attention and starting to sort of shine a light on the inhumanity of experimenting on human beings, right? So with this sort of in the background, additionally, the Surgeon General that was the Surgeon General of the United States was replaced in 1948. So Dr. John Cutler receives a letter from his long-lost buddy back home, Dr. John Mahoney, which says, quote unquote, "We just lost a good friend." So whoever this Surgeon General was, was apparently totally for this whole human experimentation thing.
Why not?
And they're not sure about this new guy and how great this new guy is going to react to all this. And
they're probably thinking, who's going to help cover for us?
Exactly. And then the letter goes on to say that in light of everything, quote, "It's time to get our ducks in a row."
Oh, come on.
So basically,
he's saying Nuremberg trials are going on.
So he's saying, hey, we knew this was sketchy and we, you know, we just got like we lost our higher up that was condoning this. And so we are not in the best position to continue doing what we're doing. And we need to clean this shit up. See right there. And then by saying, hey, let's get our ducks in a row, like they were very much aware that their ducks were very much not in a row. Their ducks were squirrels.
Wow.
And they were just fucking climbing the walls. They were not ducks.
They were not in a row.
They were not in a row.
They were scattered.
They were just climbing the walls. just chewing on wires. I mean, it was a mess.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
So, I mean, they obviously knew that they were, you know, if people really found out about this, it would be a huge deal. So over the course of the next few months, Dr. John Cutler starts wrapping up his research. They close their big clinic. They pull out of the psych hospital, out of the leper colonies, and they leave Guatemala.
Good.
Now, so things kind of continue. Biological materials were harvested from Guatemala, from their quote unquote patients over there. And they were saved and brought over to the U.S. to continue some research. So they kept spinal fluid, discharge, urine, semen, blood from all of these people that were infected. He did leave a small group of researchers in Guatemala just to continue following people that they had treated and just to kind of wrap things up and get that data. But for the most part, they were not actively experimenting on people anymore.
They were not
anymore.
Injecting anyone further.
Exactly. So now Dr. Cutler continued studying the transmission and treatments of STIs through the next few decades of his career. So he's like, this is his niche. This man just really, really loves this particular field. And he did run the research with his salvaged biological materials into the 50s, actually, into like the mid-1950s. He wrote up a lot of reports. He wrote like actually numerous reports on his findings throughout the early 50s, but these were never published. They were never peer reviewed. It was never anything that was like, you know, nobody ever shined a light on
any of
that. I
hope not. And I hope he wasn't seeking that, considering the ducks not in a row.
Yeah, exactly. At least in Guatemala. I mean, if he's doing it in the U.S., he has to have consents and he's following the rules in the U.S. because he has to. Cutler takes various research jobs at this point, just to kind of follow him after the 50s, until he becomes one of the pioneers in the Tuskegee experiments. Mm-hmm. And we're going to touch upon the Tuskegee experiment here because it really aligns with what went on in Guatemala and sort of expands upon all of that. So a experiment began that started in Tuskegee, Alabama. This began in 1932 and it went on until 1972. 40 years.
That's a long time.
40 years. Now, in 1932, the experiments began with a group of 600 men, all of whom were black men. These men were promised free medical care, free food, and free, you know, comfortable accommodations, and that they would all be treated for a condition known as, quote unquote, bad blood. Now, bad blood is a blanket term that was used back in the day for just not feeling well.
All right.
It was used to refer to things like anemia, malnutrition, you know, the flu, general malaise. It's just a huge, oh, you got bad blood.
I had never heard that before.
Well, I mean, it's like an old-timey term. We don't really use it anymore. Yeah, baby, now we got bad blood. They're all like, you know what? I do feel kind of shitty. They did not consent to be a part of any type of experiment.
Man.
Or anything.
Man.
Of this group of men that were identified as to be experimented on, this is a time, this is 1932. Syphilis and gonorrhea are rampant, right? Of these 600 men, 399 of them were infected with syphilis already.
Wow.
The other 201 men were negative and did not have syphilis.
Okay.
And most of these men were sharecroppers who were impoverished and probably had never seen a doctor in their lives and would have no way of knowing that they even had syphilis.
Right.
So the study was funded by the government, specifically the National Health Service, and it started at a time, like I said, when syphilis was rampant and there was no known cure for syphilis at this point. So this is before penicillin.
Right.
Before we figured out that penicillin treats this, the aim of this particular study was to study the natural progression of syphilis as a disease and what happens when it goes untreated. At the time, what did they have to lose? There was no treatment for this.
They had nothing.
Literally, I think it started for the right reasons, right?
So did the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, nobody disclosed to them that they had this disease. Nobody disclosed that to them. So, of course, this study had already started by the time Guatemalan shit goes down. And all of a sudden, the mid-1940s come around and we have penicillin. And penicillin treats syphilis.
Yep.
Yay. We have this great treatment. And doctors are starting to prescribe it. And mm-hmm. now the infection rates are down. Things are getting better in the community. And so now that we know this, you know, we as the U.S. government have this responsibility, right, to treat these 399 infected men from Tuskegee, one would think.
But I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm looking at you like, but?
But if they treated them and cured them in their latent syphilis period,
oh.
how would we ever get the data on the progression of syphilis?
We suck.
So instead oh. of doing the right and moral thing and treating these underserved, impoverished Black men for a disease that may kill them, instead of offering these guys treatment and disclosing to them that they have syphilis and we can fix this for you, they let things evolve. They didn't do anything. They didn't treat anybody. They didn't disclose to them that they had syphilis. And they continued to offer them their quote-unquote free medical care, which was placebos.
I was going to say.
They wanted to,
they
wanted them.
They're not helping their bad
blood. No, that's what I mean. They wanted to make it seem like we're treating you for something.
But we're not.
But they're giving them vitamins and sugar pills and placebos to make it seem like these people are benefiting in some way. When they are very much not being benefited.
Wow.
So they were left to continue to evolve from latent syphilis and years down the road into tertiary syphilis, which if you listen to part one, you know, is the worst and essentially yes. most damaging stage.
Yes.
It's essentially the terminal stage of syphilis in which irreversible organ damage occurs. So,
oh man,
this study continues where these infected people are monitored for 40 years.
What?
40 years.
Wow.
These men, again, are being told that they're being treated for this bad blood early on, and were given these vitamins and sugar pills and whatnot. And, you know, all this crucial health information was totally withheld from them, and officials were just watching it all unfold.
HIPAA's not supposed to apply to you.
No.
Like, you're supposed to be told about your own health issues.
Yes. So after Guatemala, Dr. Cutler actually became heavily involved in the Tuskegee untreated syphilis experiments. Into the mid-1970s.
I'm not surprised.
And that's when, so in the mid-1970s, all of a sudden things kind of explode in terms of the Tuskegee experiments because an explosive news article gets published, mm-hmm. which shines a light right on it and exposes all the details of the experiment, the inhumanity. You know, human rights are something that is evolving. This is the 70s, right?
True.
So
yes.
now people yes. are saying, okay.
Look what they're doing to all these Black people.
Look what they're doing to all these Black men. Like, all these old white men are doing this to the Black. It
yes,
is true.
It's true.
So, of course, the study is dissolved immediately.
Yeah.
And it's completely terminated. And with the bad press around it, the Department of the
but
Assistant.
For those people, it's also too late.
Oh, like, well, completely. Exactly. A lot yeah. of these people, it's way too late. Yeah. And don't just think about the people, their families.
Yes.
These people end up getting married, having children. What
getting
about their
infected
wives?
Themselves.
Infecting
yes.
their children, then infecting
oh,
whoever else
man.
They have sexual contact with. I mean, it's a huge community health crisis that mm-hmm. the government has created. So. Now, with the bad press around this, the Department of the Assistant Secretary of Health and Scientific Affairs, they're the ones that actually voted to close the study down initially, thankfully. And they concluded after an investigation that the study was, quote, ethically unjustified. And what they had said specifically was that, like, the marginal data that we might get from this is, like, so... you know, totally not outweighed by the immense risk to these people and the community.
Right.
By withholding this information from them.
The risk did not outweigh the benefit.
No. Not
even
so much.
Close.
Not even a little bit. So this department also went on to develop and established the Tuskegee Health Benefit Program. And this program provided medical coverage to, like, real medical coverage to all the survivors and their families. Okay. Now, participants' children and families who were exposed through the actions of this experiment, in some cases, continue to receive benefits. There are people to this day receiving health benefits because they're still suffering from, you know, being exposed and having syphilis, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure, with the children. Children. Yeah, they're elderly now.
Exactly. You know? They're older. Yeah, exactly. So there are people still receiving benefits from this to this day. Now, later that year in 1973, a class action lawsuit benefiting the participants and their families awarded $10 million in favor of the plaintiffs. So there was a big class action lawsuit, right, and they benefited from it, which is great. It's not enough, but it's great. And at that, in 1997, actually, President Clinton issued a presidential apology for the events of the Tuskegee experiments. Yeah. What occurred in Guatemala at this point, even in like the 90s and the early 2000s, remained largely unknown. Like, still nobody really knew about it.
Right.
So Dr. Cutler, who's still alive around this time, by the way, not now, but like I'm talking about like in the 90s.
Yeah.
Dr. Cutler remained one of the Tuskegee experiment's most dedicated defenders, like, throughout his life. He's like, we needed this data and there was no other great way to get this data. And like, how did you all expect? It's like, really, though?
He must have had stuff messed with his junk for him to be so passionate about this data.
I mean, you would think. It's something.
I'm just assuming.
I don't know what happened to that guy, but he's just a huge fucking mess. Still. So ultimately, he becomes the dean of the Graduate School of Public Health.
Stop it.
At the University of Pittsburgh.
Stop it.
Up until his death in 2003.
What?
So during his time there, he did a lot of writing and wrote a bunch of papers and, like, essentially a very detailed account and about his research that occurred not only for Tuskegee, but the stuff in Guatemala. So he just puts all this shit down on paper. So all this research that he did after he died was sort of, like, found in his office, and the university archived it in their archives. So the university has all this, you know, stuff. So after his death, there was this researcher by the name of Susan Reverby who was conducting research on the Tuskegee experiments. And she knew that Cutler was very involved, and she had learned, oh, Cutler used to teach here and he was a dean of students here. So I'm going to go see what I can find at the University of Pittsburgh. So she goes to the archives and she uncovers some of his work. And in these archive documents, what she found was not only documentation of his work in Tuskegee, but she starts reading about some shit that went down in Guatemala.
Yeah, girl.
And it was insane, to say the least. So this dossier was essentially where we have gathered most of what is known about what happened in Guatemala, because there really is nothing else. Right. So these are the archive documents.
Right.
Okay. Once she gathers everything and kind of reads through everything, at this point, it's like 2005. She takes everything to the CDC. And she's like, can you guys look at this? Because fuck. And the CDC looks at it and go,
fuck.
Fuck. And quickly, this makes its way up the chain all the way to the White House. And the Presidential Commission for Bioethical Issues conducts this huge investigation into these events.
Uh-huh.
And this took several years. And they wrote up this big report about their findings in September of 2011, which got published. And overall, there were documented 1,300 subjects total from Guatemala. That's just what's documented. Mm-hmm. It is widely believed there were many, many more.
Of course.
And of these 1,300 documented subjects, only 678 were documented to have received treatment.
So barely, like half.
Half.
But, yeah.
Exactly. In October of 2011, a lawsuit was filed against the U.S. government for damages against the people of Guatemala. So the Guatemalan government essentially was trying to sue the U.S.
Right.
The presiding judge quickly dismissed the case, first of all, because it was well documented that Guatemala did know some of the shit was going on.
The health institutions, the mental, and their soldiers.
Exactly.
But they weren't completely left in the dark.
Also, at the time, there was this, and I think there still is this law of sovereign immunity, which states that, like, one government can't just, like, sue another nation's government. Because that would be a little bit, like, pandemonium, right? Because, like, if one nation just, like, doesn't like the U.S., they could just, like, sue, and it's like, well, we our laws aren't your laws. What do you mean? Why are you trying to sue me? Like, so that didn't, so it was dropped quickly. There was nothing really came of that lawsuit, but it was, like, a whole thing. President Barack Obama, around this time, issued a presidential apology for the U.S. STI experiments and our role in Guatemala, and called for the Guatemalan government to acknowledge and apologize as well, because they had a role in this.
Yes, they did.
A big one.
Yes, they did.
And I could not find anywhere that they ever did apologize. Yeah, I could not find anywhere that anyone apologized, acknowledged this, acknowledged their role in it. Mm. There was nothing. So in an ongoing response to this, in 2017, amendments were made to the Common Rule. And the Common Rule is, like, sort of a basic code of ethics that we live by if we are in other countries conducting experiments of any kind.
Okay.
So it clarifies that countries and their people are not obligated to participate in studies commissioned by the U.S.
No.
In order to obtain aid or food and or some kind of prestige for working with the U.S. Like, all of that is off the table. Nobody is obligated to do anything. And it prevents these studies from being undertaken where it could not really be possible to obtain a reasonable amount of consent. Like, for example, if we go to a severely impoverished or third world country and say, we want to conduct experiments on you, and these, even if you don't say it, these people think that they're going to benefit somehow, and they're desperate to stay alive, and they will say yes to anything at that point.
Right.
That's not really getting consent, you guys.
Right.
And so that was clarified in this
law
as well.
Same with, like, a mental institution.
Exactly.
Like,
that's not consent.
Most of them will probably have guardians. They're incapacitated.
Exactly.
They cannot make those choices.
Exactly. So that was all clarified heavily in 2017 to that rule. In January 2016, Jimmy Morales took presidential office in Guatemala, and he has not mentioned issuing any reparations to people or families in Guatemala. Children were born with syphilis, and people continue to suffer with the chronic effects of this to this day. I mean, there's been generations of people with syphilis because of this.
Right.
And there's, I mean, the government should be giving them reparations because they were highly responsible for this too. But there's been no documentation of Guatemala issuing any of that. So, I mean, there are survivors that are left blind, deaf, unable to walk, have brain damage,
cognitive
deficits.
Yeah.
And so this is just such an incredibly sad story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
For people and their families and generations down the road.
And
I mean,
even for new government officials to not want to come in and try to make it right.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just like, but why are you here? You know, it's just so sad.
Of course it is.
So that is a story of the STI experiments in Terre Haute, Guatemala, and Tuskegee.
How many more Med Crimes episodes do you think there are in the future?
Oh.
That involve government doing shady shit?
It is. The limit does not exist.
That was an excellent quote.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
The limit does not exist.
The limit does not exist.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're
sorry
right.
Sorry to really bum you guys out, but there it is. Here we are.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, Kate, for giving us another stimulating episode.
A chef kiss episode.
It just makes you go, what the fuck?
It just makes you go, this can't be real life.
Are you sure?
This is a dystopian novel. No, it is not. This really happened.
This happened somewhere else, not in the U.S.
Not that long ago.
Right.
That's not this fucking long ago.
No. No. Wow.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for watching, to those of you that are watching as our new subscribers. You can continue to find us by following us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can tweet /X at us at Med Crimes PC.
We might really not see that one.
I don't really check our Twitter, so.
You can search for us and on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you wish to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast. And it's fun there.
It is fun there.
It's fun.
It's fun stuff.
You want to become a mythical creature? I will look some shit up for you.
She's got to look some stuff up now because the brain is empty.
I am going to have to purchase a book on this.
If you read it.
I will never read it because who has time to read?
If you want to send us any crazy stories, insight, input, ideas, anything that you want to say, you can send it to us at www.medcrimes@gmail.com.
We truly love hearing from you guys. And my favorite
is the interaction.
So same. And then I love the comments and the emails and the reviews that say, oh, like, I'm a paramedic and I love listening to you here. Like, oh, I just passed my boards and I'm just about to graduate with my BSN, or, you know, I'm a nurse practitioner in Colorado. Like, I love hearing who you guys are.
Us and our
where
fellow
you're from.
Nurses talk about you at the nurses station all the time.
Yes. There's like nurses aides in New Zealand. Like, what? Mm-hmm. We freaking love you guys. Stop it. We love you.
We love you. We're so thankful We're so thankful for you.
Ugh.
And I mean, I guess lastly, we got to add to it that if you want to check out the new YouTube channel, look for us on YouTube at Med Crimes Podcast. Become a subscriber.
Yeah, buddy. Hit that smash that subscribe button.
Smash it.
Just smash it.
Smash it. Thank you for listening, everyone. Until next time.
Stay fat. Wow.
She can't talk. I'm going to do it this time. Stay safe out there.
Go Cobras.